You know the word of God. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it on the lake, while all the people were along the shore of the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching he said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times over." Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He said to them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? If not, how will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." So, I feel a lot like we're in youth group. Every Monday night, we are down here in Fellowship Hall. And typically, we have talks, not necessarily sermons. It's not like mini church. Lately, we've just been talking about what does it mean to be a Christian. But because I'm used to being in youth group, I'm also used to asking our students questions as I teach, because that's how I teach. And so I think with that in our minds, I think my sermon will take on a slightly different kind of space, purely because we're in this room and that's what I'm used to. The parable that we read today, the parable of the sower, is one of probably the most famous parables we've heard. I'm blanking on the other names because my paper's not in front of me. There's the parable of the Good Samaritan. We know that one really well. There's the parable of the older brother and the brother who comes back. Someone help me.
Prodigal.
Thank you. Prodigal. Yeah, I was never going to come up with that word on my own. What other parables do we know and do we remember, the ones that we almost have memorized? The mustard seed. Heaven is like a pearl in a field. Jesus talks and teaches through these parables, and I think it's one of those interesting and unique parts of Scripture that we don't talk about nearly enough. I was reading this week, one of the commentaries that I was reading, the author had said that a parable is like going into a room. And immediately I love that, because the author is using a parable to explain parables. Kind of a meta parable. He's using a parable to describe parables. He's saying a parable is going into a room, and the more you're in that room, the more you can describe that room. The longer you're in the room, the more you pick up on what is in the room, the more you think about it, the more you digest it, the more you can share what is in that room. Pretty quickly, if you were in, for example, this room for a minute and left, you'd say, oh, there's a number of tables and chairs. It's a place of meeting or a place of eating. The longer you're here, you start to notice the bulletin boards. You start to notice the whiteboard and what the youth write every week. You start to notice the Christmas lights that are around the ceiling. You begin to look at the tablecloths and the floor and the walls and oh, it's the walls are painted blue. I never noticed that before. The longer you're in a room, the more you can describe it, the more you can talk about it, the more you internalize it. And the parables are similar in that way, I think. Typically what you have in the parables and what Jesus talks about to his disciples in verse 10, he says that for others, for not the disciples, not the apostles, for just the general public, I speak to them in parables. I teach them about the world and teach them a lesson about the world, but to you, the kingdom of God has been shown to you. To you, the parables have deeper meaning. And so I think it's one of these dichotomies that I love that word because I love what dichotomy means for the Christian. We are of this world and beyond it. We learn of this world through the parables and we learn of the kingdom of God through the parables. We live in a dichotomy and each and every one of the parables lives in that dichotomy. Let's take the sower, for example. Originally, I was going to retell this story, and I still will, but to preface it with a little bit of my knowledge from El Salvador, the trip that I was on last week, I was talking about the lives of rural people in El Salvador, the ones who live up on the mountains. They live up in the mountains because they were pulled out of the valleys. And so now they live in the higher places, the poorest in El Salvador. And now that they realize that coffee is such a cash crop, they work and they live on plantations. They live and they work on farms. And so we were talking with a religious leader from a church that we went to, and he was explaining to me what's called sharecropping. Now, I'm from the beach, and I'm going to fully admit I know nothing about farming. Which I'm very happy to have some of you here this morning to make sure that I understand all the things that I'm about to say correctly. He explains to me sharecropping, which is where someone owns the land, and especially in rural, poor societies, other people come to farm the land and they have to pay back a portion of their crop as rent. So for example, if I was growing wheat, I would have my entire crop and a quarter of it would go to the landowner, a quarter of it I would eat, and then I would sell the other half to buy other things. And so he was explaining sharecropping because the people in El Salvador work on coffee farms, work on plantations, but cannot afford the coffee that they grow. And instead they have to buy coffee from Nestle, they have to buy coffee that's instant, that's prepackaged, that's grown somewhere else and processed and brought to them. Even though they have some of the best coffee in the world, they told me, they weren't allowed to drink it. And so imagine, instead of the way Jesus tells it, which I think it is the same story, imagine I was a sharecropper living on someone else's farm, and in my haste, very quickly, I was spreading seed right from the garage into the field. I've been watching MeTV. I fall asleep to MeTV. Hogan's Heroes comes on right around the time I'm falling asleep. And if I turn the TV on too early, I catch the end of an old show for me that's called Green Acres. Okay. Green Acres, a lawyer, I assume, from New York City, always has wanted to live on a farm. They go out and they buy a farm, and the hijinks that come from two city folk coming and living on a farm. And I feel a lot like the main character from that show. I've only caught a couple of episodes, so I don't know anyone's names yet, which I apologize about. And so I imagine this guy, when I think about this story, I imagine myself, if I was called to become a farmer, load up all of my seed in the garage and start seeding as soon as I leave the garage on the way to the field. And so a quarter of my seed I dump on the sidewalk. Doesn't ever hit soil. The birds come and they eat the seed immediately and the seed is gone. I keep pushing my little cedar. I push the cedar and a little bit of it falls in grass that is very shallow. It's rocky. There's really no soil there. And so the seed grows pretty quickly, and then the sun comes out and scorches it, and the grain withers away. The plant is gone before it can hold any fruit or grain. I push the cedar even further over a big patch of weeds, a big patch of thorns, and I waste another quarter of the seed. And what happens is the weeds are choking all of the plants. They cannot grow because there is no room for them to grow. They cannot grow because the weeds are there and choke all the nutrients and all the soil and all the water and all the sun from them. And then finally I get to the good soil. Finally I get to the place where I should be planting the seed. And all I have is a quarter of the seed left. And I push the cedar out and I seed the farm as best as I can. Now, as a sharecropper, to the people listening to Jesus in the biblical scripture, to us today, I wasted three quarter of the seed that I had. If I was paying rent to the farmer, to the landowner, if I was paying rent in a way that I needed to pay rent to grow food and also to have some left over for myself to eat and also to have some to sell, and if I wasted three quarters, if I wasted 75% of my seed, that would have been ridiculous. Go back to Long Island, you all would have said. It makes it even worse when we consider that maybe he wasn't growing wheat, or maybe I'm not growing corn, maybe I'm growing coffee, maybe I'm growing cotton, something that I cannot eat. And so really what I'm doing is wasting all of my money, which then would have bought me food. And so what Jesus says is, let them who have ears to hear, hear. He says that the quarter, the 25% of the seed that finally got to the good soil, imagine if that was a bumper crop. Imagine that if only a quarter of the seed that you owned got to the field, but when it went out there, it brought in a yield of 30 times what was expected, 60 times what was expected, 100 times, Jesus says. Not only does it make up for all of the seed that I missed, but there's so much left over. There's so much food left over, so much coffee left over, that I can not only pay off my rent, I can not only buy all of the food that I need to buy, but there's so much left over that I can buy some land for myself.
Good morning.
Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning.
We're happy you're with us. Hopefully the road is I'm a little early. Normally I wouldn't even be preaching yet. Sorry about that. That 100 yield, I can buy my own land, and next year I no longer have to pay rent to a landowner. Next year, all of the food that I plant will be mine. Jesus is saying to the people, not to the disciples, not to Christians, not to us in the church this morning. Jesus is saying to the common folk in the scripture, he's saying, this is what God is like. You waste 75% of the seed that you have, and yet God still performs a miracle, and yet there is still a bumper crop, and you can go out and buy land for yourself. So no longer do you have to be in a state of poverty. And then the disciples, I think, are a lot like Methodists. The disciples are sitting around Jesus and they're like, we heard your story, but I don't know what it's about. And so Jesus says, well, to everyone else, I talk about the world. To you, I talk about the kingdom of God. And so he says that the parable is a story, but it's about your faith. The sower sows seed. He sows the word of God. He sows faith into the world. And that faith sometimes lands on the sidewalk, where it never gets a chance to take hold. The birds come and immediately eat the seed. There are times in our lives that very quickly that we leave church and we're feeling good for half a second, and by the time we get to our car, we get that phone call from someone and our lives just take a nosedive. That we never get a chance to live out our faith. He says sometimes that's what happens. Sometimes what happens is we're like the seed that has been cast into the rocky soil. We have a great worship service. This will happen for the youth in a couple of weeks at that retreat we're going on. We're going to have a great, amazing weekend. We're going to be at a very high point. We're going to sprout very quickly, but because we have no roots, what happens is something will come along. Satan, Jesus talks about in chapter 4. Something comes along and it's like our legs get taken out from underneath us. And because we had no root system, because we didn't go deep into the ground, we are washed away. The sun beats on us and we wither and we die. Some people, Jesus says, it's like the seed is being thrown into the weeds, into the thorns. And what happens is life gets in our way. Our greed or our anger, our sin, our frustrations. Our life gets in our way and we cannot grow to our fullest extent. And then Jesus says sometimes the soil is perfect. Sometimes, even a quarter of the time, our lives are perfect and the Word of God can grow roots. Now, I once heard, I was at a youth group, I was at a young adult group when I was in undergrad, and I heard someone share the parable. And he completely looked at Jesus' words and said, you know, I'm not going to listen to what Jesus is saying. What Jesus actually meant was something else. I went, guy, it says specifically, I'm saying this plainly to you. Here's what the parable means. This isn't, the parable isn't ways that we separate people. The parable isn't that there are some people who are good soil and they will be good Christians. There are some people who are living in the weeds and will never get off the ground. There are some people who are living in the rocky soil and will die very quickly. And there are some people who are on the sidewalk. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying is that we go through these different stages in life. That we go through times in which that we cannot bear fruit because we are too shallow. Because that there's too much in the way, that the sun comes out and burns us. That the birds come and pick us out. That other people come and interrupt us, or that the way in which we live in the world is a problem. There are some times that we are living in the faith and what happens is life gets in the way. My job, my school, my spouse, my family, I cannot concentrate, I can't focus, I'm angry, I'm frustrated. Greed, Jesus talks about greed way more than he talks about anything else. We go after money. And we stop listening to his commandments. We stop listening to his instructions. And so Jesus says it's in these times that we lose faith. It's in these times that we waste our faith. We waste 75% of our faith. Just like that sower, just like the farmer, the sharecropper who's wasting all of his seed trying to get to the good soil. Sometimes as Christians, we waste our time and we waste our lives and we waste our faith in places where we end up dead. But the good news is that it doesn't end in the thorny or weedy soil. It ends in the good soil. That we always go back to the times in which that we are perfectly and amazingly ready to receive God's word and to live out our faith. And when we do, God can use our faith and we'll have a bumper crop. We'll have 30 or 60 or 100 times yield. We'll yield in ways that we never thought was possible. In our wildest dreams, we never would consider a yield of 100 times more than is normal. And so even in the times in which we are on the sidewalk, or we are in the weeds, or we are in the rocky soil, even those times are made up for by the times we are in the good soil. Even if it's 25% of the time, even if it's 10% of the time, even if it's 5% of the time, God can do so much more in that little amount of time that our faith has to be consistent. And so what I think Jesus is talking to his disciples, what I think Jesus is talking to the sharecroppers, the farmers who are among him, is that the kingdom of God is unlike anything we know. That God and the nature of God is unlike anything that is of this earth. And it is purely because when nothing makes sense, God is still there. When everything seems backwards, God is still at work. When all we expect is to waste all of our seed and to starve, God performs miracles. It's the third week of 2020. It's my first week back with you. I've missed you all considerably. It's the first week of 2020. There are going to be times this year that we feel as if we are on that sidewalk. There are going to be times that we feel we're in rocky soil, times where we feel we are in the weeds or the thorns, and there will be times that we feel we are in the good soil. And what we cannot do is what is very human. We cannot lose our assurance when we are in the weeds. We cannot lose our good news when we are in the rocky soil. We have to keep looking for the good soil. We have to keep searching, because when we do finally make it, God can give us a bumper crop of the year. When we finally get to that point, God can perform miracles that we cannot even comprehend. Beyond our wildest dreams, God can perform work in our lives. And that is what we are waiting for. That is what we are hopeful for. That is where the good soil leads us. And so this year, I want us to remember that. That the periods of life, the times of life that we go through, there are highs and lows. And our lows are not as bad because we know that God is with us. And our highs are even better because we know that God is with us. We just have to keep the faith. Amen. Thanks for listening to our sermon this week. This has been a joint Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Church process. My name is Pastor Jesse, the pastor of Broadway and Port Colden churches. We hope you've had a great time listening today and have a blessed week as you go about your day. Please think about stopping in and joining us one Sunday. We'd be happy to have you. If you have any questions about the churches, about the message, or anything else that you can think of, please reach out to us at info@broadwaynj.org or info@portcoldenumc.org. Thank you and have a great day.